Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We are going to be looking at just the first verse of chapter 11 this evening, and talking about a number of things that I think sort of go with that, and how we may apply it to our lives. One of the things that I was mentioning to a couple people before the service was that our children enjoy celebrating Halloween. They enjoy going out and trick-or-treating, and part of the reason for that is because as parents we had the difficult task of figuring out what to remove from their lives and what to keep in their lives. And one person, a very wise person, once told us that whenever you remove something, you have to replace it with something. Well, when our first one and two were born, we observed in our neighborhood what was going on with Halloween. And it was a very community-oriented, family-friendly event where their kids would dress up in fancy dress. In the United States, generally, kids don't dress in fancy dress except for that one day of the year. And it was a situation where families would be out together and people would have bonfires in their front gardens and everybody would talk to everybody. And it was a nice family-friendly community atmosphere. It's been surprising to us that the only part of Halloween that has sort of made it to the shores of Britain has been those things that seem scary. We have continued that with our kids for the most part and kept it family-friendly with, as you will, and had a bonfire and all, and their friends would come over and that sort of thing. And the reason I bring this up is that events can get confusing. They can be confusing from different cultural perspectives. And things that one group does, looked at through a long lens, can be very challenging to understand why they do it. And vice versa, things that another group doesn't do, looked at through a long lens, can be very challenging as to view why they don't do it. That is something that communication is critical for. I don't go around judging those who will not celebrate Halloween, and there are people that won't do that, and I'm perfectly okay with that. And I'm not going to go around judging those who do. I would give the caveat that I don't think anything scary or evil ought to be a part of it. That's from my perspective. People have said to me in the past, well, it's rooted in paganism, and well, that's true, but so are all the holidays that are basically celebrated throughout the year in Britain as well as in the United States, besides the bank holidays, but I guess that's sort of paganism too, isn't it? The banks are celebrating their money or something or other. But you get the idea. And it's the same sort of thing that Paul talks about, and it's that I don't want to offend anybody, but I also don't want to be judged by someone else because of what I do, what I accept or don't accept. And Paul talks about it here in Corinthians and in other places. I have seen at the same time a great number of people, especially believers, really only believers that have kept this going for some time. They have called it Reformation Day. And they call it that because 504 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door in Wittenberg on October 31st. And they will say, and I've seen a number of them, and they will judge those who will practice Halloween and promote this Reformation Day idea. So I wanted to speak a little bit just to give clarity about Reformation Day, in the sense of we ought to be very careful what we affirm and what we don't affirm, because each of us are fallen creatures, each of us are sinners, and each of those that have gone before, other than Christ, are fallen sinners. And Paul says here in verse 1 of chapter 11, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." There is an implied statement there that is, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. However, if I get off track, you keep following Christ. Don't follow me. Because I'm a fallen sinner where Christ is not. You keep following him. You can learn lessons about following him from following me. Practical things that you may not have known. You can learn from me as I follow Christ. And that's what we all ought to do. But there are things that I will fail at. There are places that I will fall. If you see that, well then don't follow me down that path. And help me actually get back from that path. Too often, we look back in history and we see people that have been used of God in a great way, and we lift those people on a pedestal. We lift them higher than they ought to be lifted, because guess what? They are men and women just like us. They had one go around, just like we have one go around. They're not super Christians. They're Christians. They had successes and they had failures. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a background. In 1517, it's generally seen by most people as the start of the Reformation. It is that first thing that gets going. I think that's a little short-sighted. There are a number of events that were going on during those years, prior to 1517 and after 1517. Translations being made of the Bible in different languages, including English, as well as other things, other men and women that had pushed for true Christianity. But nonetheless, if we take that as a starting point, we'll take the 95 theses, these 95 bullet points that Martin Luther had against the Catholic Church. And people think of all that Martin Luther later stood for being incorporated in those 95 theses. And that's just not the case. There is nothing about grace in the 95 theses. There is nothing about grace alone in Jesus Christ in the 95 theses. He is upset, Martin Luther is upset, when he nails those things to the door, through the church door, because the Pope has sent an emissary from Rome to Germany to raise indulgences. An indulgence is a way to pay money to get out of purgatory or hell, or keep those that are alive from spending too much time down there. And this man was to go throughout Germany, raise money by selling these indulgences, and all the money was to go back to Rome to build St. Peter's, the Vatican that we think of today. That was being built, and they were having trouble funding the project. And so the Pope sent these men out, and one of them went to Germany to raise these funds. Martin Luther didn't object to the idea of purgatory, of the Pope being able to release people from purgatory, the Pope being able to forgive sins. Martin Luther objected to all the money going to Rome. He thought some of the money should have stayed in Germany to help build the buildings and churches in Germany. That was what he was upset about. And when you read the 95 theses, that obviously translated if you don't speak German or Latin, then you would see that that's actually the case. And he actually defends the right of the Pope to actually forgive sin in these 95 theses. Now, the Catholic Church and the Pope didn't like this. And they started to attack Martin Luther. And that's when Martin Luther actually started to dive into the Bible and investigate things. And the Lord eventually saves him. But he's not a Christian when he nails the 95 theses to the door. He doesn't know anything about grace at that point. This is just the first step. That just like when God used the Spirit in your life to draw you to Christ, there were steps along the way that you can identify now. Well, that's the same sort of thing that the 95 theses were in Martin Luther's life. There were many good things that came to light during the Reformation. There were many good things that were written down, that were made easier to understand. Theologically, doctrinally, a lot of wonderful things were written that I still use today. I was told recently, and I have to actually get a copy of it and read it, that the best Christian piece of literature there is outside of the scripture is the introduction on Galatians by Luther. That it is the height of Christian literature. I've never read it. I'm intrigued to read it because I'm excited by that. So there are good things to come from the Reformation without a doubt. But I want to say that there have been, and will be, since the time of Christ, since he formed the first church in Jerusalem before the cross, there have been churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. During all the years of Catholicism, there were churches outside of Catholicism. The Reformation didn't bring back true Christianity. True Christianity still existed. It was still vibrant. It was underground in Catholic countries, but it was still there. The Reformation gave it more of a voice. It let it project further. However, no matter how many good things that the reformers did, and they did many, many, many good things, they made errors. They made big errors. They persecuted a lot of Christians. They persecuted a lot of non-Christians. They actually put a lot of people to death because they didn't conform to their particular version of Christianity. They were upset by that. And when we call this church, it's called a Baptist church. Luther put out a proclamation against Baptists and said that every one of them should be killed in Germany. That's a stark reality. And it goes back to the idea of what Paul says, be followers of me, even as also I also am of Christ. Learn the good things you can learn from Luther. Drop the rest. Learn the good things you can learn from Calvin. Drop the rest. Learn the good things you can learn from any teacher or preacher of the Word of God, and drop the rest. Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. And the day that I'm not following Christ, say, you know what? I'm not going to follow him today. I'm going to follow this person today. Because none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. Maybe Halloween's a mistake of mine. I haven't seen it yet, but maybe it is. Maybe there are other mistakes I make. And guess what? We make mistakes because we don't see them. If we saw them as mistakes, we normally wouldn't make them. So take the good and leave the bad. That's what Paul is saying to us. It's one of those situations where we get so caught up with how someone fails, and because of that, we throw everything out. Well, if we did that, we wouldn't read Luther. We wouldn't read Calvin. We wouldn't read Spurgeon. We wouldn't read most of those that we rely upon for their understanding of Scripture that helps us to understand Scripture. And we wouldn't read them. Because guess what? They've all had failures. And some of them were whoppers. And guess what? We have failures too. We were talking about forgiveness this morning. And that goes part and parcel with everything that we're talking about. That we say, okay, I'm going to take the good and leave the bad. It's what Paul says about those verses that we read in the scripture reading in chapter 10. You know what? If you're going along and someone invites you to a feast, sit down and eat. Don't ask, where did the meat come from? Don't ask if it was sacrificed to idols. Don't ask if it was whatever was done to it. Just sit down and eat. Now, if someone comes up to you and says, oh, by the way, you know, this was sacrificed to idols, then he says, okay, now step back and don't eat. Because now, because he feels there's something different about this meat, then don't do it. But don't ask the questions when the questions don't need to be asked. And we constantly do that. We constantly are creating issues where issues don't exist, where there isn't an issue. Could there be problems with Halloween? Absolutely. Just like there are problems with Christmas and Easter and other things that Christians do in celebration. However, I know that my kids haven't taken part in those things. It's a simple situation. Now, the reason I bring this up is I want to be open and honest, and I want to be clear about what we approve and what we don't approve. And I want you to understand that we're trying to follow Christ to the best of our ability. And we're going to make mistakes. And guess what? So are you. You're going to make mistakes. But there is something that Paul is doing and telling us here that helps us. And that is, be a follower of those that follow Christ as they follow Christ. Now, of course, our standard is Christ, right? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We've been studying Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the focus. It's Christ. But guess what? It's hard for us to relate to Christ. It's hard for us to see practicality with Christ. Not that it's not impossible, because he felt all things as we feel. But we know he wasn't a sinner. And our lives are challenging in ways that we can't find in Scripture. For the jobs that we have, for the time that we spend, for the way that society is moving around us. And it's difficult if we don't have examples to follow. If we don't have living examples to follow. It makes it challenging because we don't know what to do. Let me give you a little view into what I mean. When I was a young kid, I'm the youngest of seven children. And being the youngest, my parents were pretty much done with the parenting stuff by the time I came along. They were very hands-off. And I was basically left to fend for myself when it came to, should I do this or should I not do this? Thankfully, somehow, God put it in me to be able to observe my siblings and the things that they did and be able to say, you know what, that wasn't wise. That was something that was foolish to do. That was wrong. I could see them do it. And I had example after example from all six of my older siblings of what I should not do. Almost on a daily basis, I could say, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. I know I'm not going to do that. Because I could see the havoc that it wreaked in their lives. I could see the difficulties that they had because of the things that they did. That was great for me. But it was also a negative. Because it wasn't a positive example of what I should do. And what I wasn't seeing was what I should be doing. And so that, as great as those six examples of what I shouldn't be doing could be, they were never going to exhaust all the possible pitfalls that I could run into in life. It just wasn't going to be possible. There were going to be things that they didn't come up against, or I didn't see them come up against, and learn from. And so I had to figure out, oh, you know what? I didn't see an example of this. What should I do? And it wasn't until much later in my life that I started seeing examples of what I should be, of how I should act in situations, of what was the right course. And that is a great blessing to see what is the right course. And that's what I get from what Paul is saying. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Why? Because Christ lived and died 1,990 years ago. That's a long time. It's a long time, and there's a lot of cultural differences between what he went through and what we're going through. So what do we need? We need the people that we can see and say, you know what? That's somebody I can follow as they follow Christ. When I see them not following Christ, I'm not going to do what they do. Because if I have a number of people in my life that I am following, if you will, that I am looking at and saying, you know what, they're following Christ, he's following Christ, she's following Christ, he's following Christ. And as I'm going along, I can learn from them how to follow Christ in the day in which I live. How do I apply the lessons in the day in which I live? And then when you see somebody step the wrong way, you can recognize that. And you can maybe be a help to them in that wrong step and bring them back into the right way. But don't follow them in the wrong way. And that's what Paul is getting at. And I think it's something that it has just been on my mind and something I wanted to look at this evening, that if we're doing that, if we're looking for those examples, and we are objective about it, and being able to recognize when someone fails, and say, you know what, I don't need to follow that. I'll pray for them. I'll help them if I can, and I'm going to keep following Christ, because I see other examples of how to follow Christ in this day, in this age, and I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm going to help those that fail. I'm going to help those that fall, because eventually, I'm going to fall. Because eventually, I'm going to fail. I'm going to sin. I'm going to do something I ought not to do. That's exactly what Paul talks about. He tells the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, right? But over in Romans chapter 7, what does he say? In verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. What is he saying? It's interesting language that he uses, because he gets going and you can really get your mind twisted around as to what exactly he is saying. But what it boils down to is Paul is saying, I know what I should do, but I find that I don't do it. I know what I shouldn't do, but I find that I do it. How is this possible? Who's going to deliver me from this? Well, only Christ can deliver me from this. Well, he's telling the Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, wait a second, Paul, you're just saying you're not doing the things you should do, and you're doing the things you shouldn't do. Why should I follow you? Well, because he's not perfect. He's going to fail. He's going to fall. But he's still an example to follow. And you keep your eyes open, and you say, okay, you know what? Yeah, he's following Christ. I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow. Oh, I'm not going there, but I'm going to follow here. That's being objective. That's searching in the spirit, in the heart, as to what we should and what we shouldn't do. Because we need practical examples. We need practical things to be able to tell us and guide us. Because the way that the world is now is not the way the world was then. Now, it's not more sinful now than it was then. It's just as sinful. It's just different sins. And they're saying different things, or the same thing in different ways. And we have to figure out, okay, what do we do? Well, find godly examples. Find those people that are following Christ and follow them. Listen, observe, and take it to heart. And if they make a mistake, say, you know what? I'm human too. I'm going to pass by the mistake in love, and I'm going to continue to follow Christ. That's the goal. That's what we hope for. And that's what I hope that we can take from what Paul is saying here in Corinthians and apply it to our lives and be better off for it. And not judge one another when we fail, not judge one another when we make a mistake, but lift one another up, pray for one another, and help each other away from the pitfalls that come along. Because guess what? Maybe you've seen a pitfall that I haven't seen. Or maybe I've seen a pitfall you haven't seen. And we can help one another to walk that path together, following Jesus Christ. And so he points you to him today. Amen.